New Year, New Music on BBC Radio 3.
And this is where we welcome Vicky Bennett, a.k.a. People Like Us. That's the name of your band, isn't it?
It is. All of us, yes.
Yeah. How many people are in your band?
Me and me and me.
Really? And so there's no prospect of you ever splitting up?
No, not at all. That's why I chose the name. It's a commitment for life.
OK, well, I think the best way of introducing you to people is to play some of your music. But just before I do, I'd like to read out what the radical analogue tape cut-and-paste collage maestro Steinsky says about you. I know that you know what he says about you. Welcome Abroad is the soundtrack to a dream, overlaying a cabaret with the circus, a music hall with the radio, a nightclub with the movies. Finely tuned sounds from the collective unconscious, fitted together with care and clarity and skill, producing a hallucinatory landscape that shifts and slides, shimmering with each new sample.
No.
Now, hold on.
We've sailed beyond the stars.
Let go.
Listen. Listen.
Let go.
No.
We cannot go back. I will protect you from whatever awaits us.
Well, what awaits us is quite a nice long chat with you, Vicky Bennett, about people like us. So that is part of a whole multimedia piece. What would we be looking at while that's happening?
I tend to source from well-known material, so you can recognise a lot of the music there and the sources that they come from. And then the moving image part is a very similar process where I take from well-known, generally blockbuster movies, and I find subject matter that is relevant to the music as well. So this, for instance, is a track called Wonderful Wonderful, and it's from an album called Welcome Abroad, which occurred when I got stuck in America for 3 weeks when the dust cloud got us all.
I remember that. How many years ago was that?
What was it, about 5 years ago or 4 years ago? I can't remember. But
And all air transport stopped, didn't it?
Exactly. So there were many displaced artists, and a lot of incongruous things happened as a result. And so I made this album called Welcome Abroad, which was a pun I'd been waiting to use for about 10 years previous to that. And so all the material I use well-known source material for music and moving image, because I want people to see where it came from, because I want to see the journey that it goes on, and it's a transformative journey. And then you're meeting other things along the way. And so you're kind of like a puppeteer or a director of things that never happened.
And that particular segment, A Wonderful Wonderful, you were saying there's a lot about being away from home in that, because you were away from home.
It's about being stuck, which is sort of humorous as well. And humour is a great part of what I do. It's got to be funny in some way what I do.
Yeah, you seem to have found Elvis being very stuck in that.
Yes, he never does get to the end of that song.
What on earth had he been up to? Well, I guess we'll never know now. And while you were there, so you were stuck in New York and Baltimore, and so did you get involved in the downtown scene on Manhattan?
Not really, no. I actually, I'm a DJ at WFMU, which is a radio station based in New Jersey. And so because I'm involved with that, I tend to do things on the Jersey side of things, which I'm sure, you know, doesn't sound as cool to people that I'm not in Manhattan, but it's a great radio station. So when I go to New York, I'm very much involved with WFMU. And then in Baltimore, we were staying with Matt Moss, who lived there.
Trust me, I'm in awe of you.
So we were getting the Bolt bus, because it's only $14 to get the Bolt bus between New Jersey and Baltimore. And we were just going back and forth about every week, because we thought we were going to be stuck there about 6 months, because when the dust cloud first happened, they were talking about it's taking 6 months and that the Navy were going to come and get us. They didn't.
Well, that would have been another story in another film, probably.
Yes.
So, on bureaucratic forms like, you know, insurance or mortgage or rental agreements, how do you describe yourself when it says profession or...?
Collage artist.
Oh, okay.
Unless you're in Luxembourg, and I did Ladyfest once, which it's like a festival of women only, and I've done a number of those because I'm a lady. And I did it in Luxembourg, and they translated me wrong, and all over Luxembourg it said, people like us, college degree. So well, I'm a college degree artist.
Well, I think that just about does it. And so how, you know, you've said, and I mispronounced it at the beginning of the programme, and why not, it's me, media is your palette. So how does that work? I mean, how do you actually go about capturing visuals or capturing sound?
Well, I see sampling and appropriation and collage, basically, which is an older form. I see it as being folk art in the age of mechanical reproduction. So basically what we're doing now, we're using the palette in a different way to, you know, to paint or materials like that. But actually you're sculpting. You are sculpting sound, or you're sculpting images, and your editing decisions are exactly the same as with any other material. So what I'm doing actually isn't different although many would argue that I'm stealing or whatever. But actually, I'm making decisions about, you know, what I choose and basically what I leave out, which is 99% of everything, where to put silence, where to repeat and where to vary, and which is a compositional process exactly the same as any other medium.
And you're actually making statements by juxtaposing incongruous things.
Yeah.
But first of all, I think right now we ought to hear some more of your music. And this must be a religious piece because it's called Shopping.
Oh, yes.
Now getting it ready for you. Now getting it ready for you.
Who will buy my sweet red rose? Two blooms for a penny.
Shopping by People Like Us, and that's from your audiovisual performance, Citation City, which was recently at the Whitechapel Gallery. Where else could we see it?
I don't know where it's going to be on next, actually, but it is my current live performance, and it's all using footage of movies that are shot or based in London. And so I take all the different stories and I bring them together to find the greater themes that occur. And in this particular part of the movie, it's all about money and living in London and being poor or being rich and our relationship with money.
And what would be the difference between seeing your show live and watching the video stream?
I guess a sense of event. I mean, I'm certainly not doing acrobatics when I do this live. I've got no great claims for being an amazing performer. But if you do cinema as a kind of a sense of event where you're there and you're presenting it, you're bringing people to a live situation, much like radio, and that's what I like about it. You've got a collected atmosphere, a collected listening and viewing opportunity.
Yeah, so it's like just a big group, a huge screen, and you're there to set it off and talk to it and answer questions afterwards.
Yeah, and that ain't the same as streaming, really, you know,
no,
for visual
all,
stuff.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always remember at a festival a while back, the big gala thing on the Sunday night was sitting in a field watching television with 10,000 other people, which sounds...
Not the same, is it?
It was a completely different experience. It was almost worth going to.
Yeah.
Almost. And anyway, so you state that... You call this a time-travelling voyage through one city assembled from hundreds of movie clips and inspired by the wanderings of Walter Benjamin. Tell us about Walter Benjamin, because I'd never heard of him.
OK, well, I mean, yeah, he's a theorist and a philosopher. He compiled a great work, which was made after his death into a book called The Arcades Project. And It's a wandering through Paris, but through Paris's media of the time, and it's reflecting the 19th century. And it's a huge collage of texts and photographs where he's collected these things over the years and he's put them together, and it's like a thesaurus of the zeitgeist of Paris. And it was so ahead of its time what he was doing, because it's a great big cut-up collage work. And when I found this, I thought, wow, this is... I work the same way, but I didn't know about him. He wrote the work of art in the Age of Mechanical Reproduction as well. So he's known probably better for that. But I was very impressed by the way that he was collating huge amounts of imagery and text and bringing them together to try and find the bigger story through thousands, tens of thousands of stories. And that's what I try to do as well with collage.
Basically using cut and paste techniques.
Yeah.
So actually there's quite a lot of collage in Victoriana, isn't it? Because they used to do that thing where they stuck pictures on boxes in order to decorate them.
Very much so.
And then they'd varnish them and sand it down and layer it up.
Yeah.
And I suppose scrapbooks, you know, from way back are something like that too.
And this is folk art again.
That's true. But on the other hand, Walter Benjamin is presumably, you know, a self-conscious artist.
Yeah.
Doing
I mean,
that.
He didn't even... People don't know if it was meant to be a book or not, because all that was found were the texts. And then they were later, I guess about 10, 15 years ago, they were compiled into this huge brick of a book. But it's a beautiful thing to just dip into, which anyone can make one of those things. And it will never be your own material because you're using it, but the way that you compile it, that's what makes it unique. And I believe that with all found material.
Well, talking of compilations and found material, you've chosen two tracks here by other people. We've asked everyone who's coming in this week to come along with something by some other people.
Yeah.
Tell us about it. It's Dave Soldier and Comar and Melamed. So how did this happen? This is the most unwanted song.
Yes.
Excuse me, two different edits of it.
Well, there were two. There's a project called the People's Choice Music, and it was commissioned by the Deer Foundation in New York. And Dave Soldier is he's a composer, but also a neuroscientist. And Comar and Melamed are a duo of Russian artists who are visual artists. They did this project where they did a survey of 500 visitors to the Deer Art Foundation Gallery, and they asked them what they thought would be the best and worst attributes, both in a piece of visual art and also in a piece of music, and then they set out to compose those pieces. And we're going to hear some excerpts from The Most Unwanted Song.
Thank you.
Chosen tracks there by Vicky Bennett of People Like Us, who's our very welcome guest in Lake Junction studio tonight. The Most Unwanted Song, two edits of it by Dave Soldier and Komar and Melamed. So they collected together lots of unpopular elements. Like, would you like to identify some of these unpopular elements? Presumably people wrote it down on bits of paper. I hate this, I hate that.
Yeah, so it was the dreaded attributes to any song include banjo, tuba, children, political songs, holiday lyrics, cowboy songs, bagpipes, opera, women protesters. And so they just put the whole lot together and it's beautiful.
It certainly is. And there was that sort of disco, you know, early disco beat too.
Oh, yes, that too, yes.
Wasn't that popular. Yes. With a, you know, simple drum machine.
Yes.
Very good. Tell me this, and indeed tell me true. I think that you go about your work in a rather different way to other musicians who use cut and paste, because a lot of people record their own samples, use very obscure samples. Whereas you, especially with a name like People Like Us, you really are interested in being representing the people, representing popular tastes, and you only really use popular classics, maybe popular radical classics. But like, you know, if you wanted to have a kind of parlour game after a dinner party, you could actually go through one of your works and say, oh yes, I recognise that, I recognise that. So why do you only use popular classics?
Because I like to show where things come from and where they're going when I'm working with them. And I like people to see and hear who and what they're meeting along the way. I don't want to leave people out of that journey. I want them to come with me. And so my way of engaging is to take people from A to B, not for them to just experience B. So, for instance, with the moving image stuff, you know, if you've got Michael Caine or someone like that meeting Mary Poppins or something, you know why that's happening. Or if you've got, you know, Jim Morrison and Julie Andrews singing together, you know they never did do that. Whereas if you were using obscure things, people wouldn't know that. And I think it's nice to share that journey that you've made of discovery, where you put things together that weren't meant to be together, or they couldn't have been together because the people didn't live at the same time, or there weren't the finances, or they hated each other, or no one came up with the idea. So I want to share that journey that I go on all the way, because then they can experience what I do in that composition.
You're also playing with nostalgia, you know. I mean, like people saying a lot of negative things about nostalgia, and how, for example, in the music world, it keeps us listening to the same old, same old. But I mean, what you do is you lull people into a kind of false sense of security because they're watching something nostalgic, like, for example, Julie Andrews on the top of the mountains at the beginning of The Sound of Music, and then suddenly, all around her, there are pillars of fire and shaking microphones, just like that one.
Yeah, you can undermine them.
Exactly. Now, you've got a film coming out on the web that everyone can stream and maybe even download. Tell us about that.
Yes, it was a documentary film that's been made about me over the last few years, and it's just gone online today. It's called Nothing Can Turn Into a Void, and it's a film by Cole Abrahamson. And it's on UbuWeb, which is ubu.com. And it's about me, and it's quite weird talking about me, that there's a film about me, but that's what it's about.
It's true, and there's a great picture at the beginning of you and your garden shed, or your allotment.
My allotment, yeah.
Yeah, which is purple.
It's a blue, my blue garden shed, yes.
Ah, I'm colourblind.
Yes.
Okay, so, and now we're getting on to the last tune of yours that we're going to play tonight, because it's nearly time for you to go, sadly. But this is kind of a bit like your day in the life, really, if we're going to refer to Sergeant Pepper, which mm-hmm. we can in your presence. And it's called The Sound of the End of Music. So this is a sort of vision of apocalypse, isn't it?
Yes. Whenever I saw The Sound of Music on Christmas Day, she always goes running up the hill at the beginning. Whenever she spun round on the hill, I always wanted something catastrophic to happen. And then I was watching Apocalypse Now once, and I saw the aerial shot at the beginning and the napalm exploding in the trees. And I thought, these are both war films. And one you see on Christmas Day and the other one's meant to be dark and cool and trendy. But actually, they're both war films. And I love Julie Andrews anyway. And so there's a movie for this as well, which you can find at peoplelikeus.org. So it's mixing the soundtrack to Apocalypse Now with the soundtrack to The Sound of Music.
Let's hear it.
Strange.
Well, people like us and their version of an apocalypse called The Sound of the End of Music. And Vicky's just told me that Julie Andrews and Jim Morrison sing those different songs in the same key.
Yep, I hardly had to do anything.
And you're preparing a 10-screen, 8-speaker version of that for people to see at some point, maybe
yes.
in the next 2 years, 18
yeah.
months?
It's too early to say, but it will exist. My work will be a surround sound and a surround vision piece in the next couple of years.
Well, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank
and
you.
I'm just going to keep watching your website.
Thank
because
you.
Because it's just amazing, amazing stuff that you're doing. So we just heard The Sound of the End of Music, in which Julie Andrews and Jim Morrison pursue the tryst that was always meant to take place, but somehow or other it was Nico, not Julie, who disappeared into the Mojave Desert with Jim in 1967. And let's not even ponder what was in their spoonful of medicine. Thanks so much to Vicky Bennett, she who is People Like Us, for that piece of music and for her visit and all the music, wisdom, light, etc. she has shed on everything tonight. Tomorrow night, our New Year New Music celebration brings sound artist, composer, inventor and musician Yannick Schaffer to our hallowed studio.